Let's go now live to the great Konzo Martin, who's standing by with us. Coach Martin, how you doing, my friend? Good to talk to you.
All right, how you guys doing?
Coach, never better. They love you when you're winning, Coach. You know what I mean? Talk to me. Hey, talk to me about you guys catching fire here. And after the Georgia game, if you saw this coming.
No, I don't know if necessarily saw it coming. I just think the biggest key is this the way I envision us playing all season long, you know, with or without Jerron Maimon. I just think more than anything, a couple of things. Trey Golden is playing at the level he's capable of playing at on a consistent basis. Jordan McCray is really scoring the ball, really attacking, playing well. Josh Richardson is defending. Armani Moore has really stepped in and played big minutes. Our bench has been solid. But I think the biggest key is Jarnell Stokes has identified himself as a go-to guy around that rim and making plays. And the guys have kind of fallen in line and playing at a level now.
Hey, Coach, you mentioned Jarnell, and he just looks so much more instinctive and aggressive, especially over the last 10 games. What made the light come on?
I think time and reps and also just really understanding, because, you know, it's one thing, you know, a coach can say it to you over and over and over again, but it has to click for you as a basketball player. I think that's what's happened with Jarnell Stokes. He realized, man, I can actually do this. I can be an elite player. I have to put the time and the work in consistently. And the thing we talk about with our guys all the time, it has to go from practice into the games. You have to put together consistent practice where you're competing and you're playing hard over a course of time. Then it goes into the game. Then it becomes second nature to you. And I think that's what he's done more than anything. But he's also demanding the ball. If you watch him early in the season, he wanted the ball, but he didn't demand the ball. And it's kind of, if you throw it to me, great. If I didn't get it, okay. But I think now you watch him when he's post, he wants the ball. He wants to be productive. He wants to score the basketball.
You guys catching fire here, Coach. And, you know, we were talking about how it just looks, how much easier the game looks when you're making shots. But, you know, to me, one of the things that I want to pat you on the back for is it looks like as a staff, you guys made a concerted effort from the South Carolina game on to sort of turn these guys loose a little bit. Now, am I imagining that, or has that happened? And if you guys didn't decide to do that, then why are the numbers better and the turnovers more? And because it sure looks like the team has been turned loose a little bit.
Well, the thing about it, I think it starts with Trey Golden coming back and playing the way he's capable of playing that. Because if you watch us in spurts here at Memphis when we got down the way we played in certain games, I think that's the way we built the play. But the key when you run and you play, you know, loose style of game offensively, it's still got to be execution. It can't be wild shots. It can't be when I get this first pass, I'm shooting the basketball. It's still the method to behind what you're doing. But I think now when you're able to, you know, you can go inside the Jarnell, you can get production. We start inside and we go from there. Jordan McCray is leading us in scoring, but every game we go into, we got to make sure Jarnell gets the ball and he's successful and everything falls in line. If that doesn't happen, it could be a long night for us. Now, if they double team him, he doesn't score on the ball, that's different. But as long as he's touching the ball and making plays, that's what happens. Then, you know, we tweaked a couple of things. We went with, I think for us, it's better what happened. You know, four guards out there on the perimeter because you can really pressure and get out and run. It makes other teams make adjustments. So now when you double team Jarnell, it's a little tougher because you got guys that are slashing, cutting and moving, can make plays off the dribble. And just really, you know, guys getting out running. But the key with running, you can't turn the ball over and run in transit. A lot of teams can run. You got teams that score 50 points a game, but they can run. But the key is taking care of the basketball when you run in transition, make good decisions, because you can go down every time down and run all day long. You shoot quick shots, you miss them, you turn the ball over, you're right back where you started.
Well, here's what I see. You guys tweak your approach, and your guys have responded on the defensive end as well. It looks to me like you're playing your best defense of the year while you're playing your best offense. And in particular, you know, we had become accustomed to your approach of not getting in passing lanes. Now all of a sudden you guys are. You're creating easier points. And it's you know, at the end of the game, if you can get 8 to 10 easy points, so to speak, they all add up at the end of ball games.
Well,
has that been changed too? Go ahead, Coach.
Well, you know, the one thing about it in your programs, and one thing I pray to God that I never do or stay away from, you know, criticizing your players. There's certain things you have to say to identify. Like I say, for example, if Trey Golden ain't playing at the level, that part is understood. You can see that. Now Trey Golden is playing like Trey Golden. But the one thing about it, when you get out in the passing lanes, you have to have a personnel to do it. You have to have guys that are built to do it. We've gotten better at because of the put no money more out there. Joel McCray taking pride in that. Trey Golden, you guys got to take pride in defending, because what happens when you got in the passing lane, you look at my program, when I played in programs, I've been a part of, the assistant coach, the head coach, we get out in the passing lane, we make touches hard for you. But if your personnel is not built to do that in particular situations, you have to do what's smart for your personnel. But we spent so much time with it, and the guys understand, if you're able to do this, because like I tell the guys, I was a good defender, but the thing that made me a good defender, I didn't have to defend my man as much because he didn't have the ball. So now, good defenders in most cases are weak side defenders because that man don't get touches. Now, there's certain times you got to guard the best player and he got the ball in his hand. But in most cases, I want to be a weak side defender and keep my guy out of the offensive sets and the flow of what they're doing.
Hey, Coach, when you mentioned Trey, was the hamstring injury actually a little bit of a blessing in disguise for him? He just looks like a much more determined, tuned-in basketball player than he did prior to the injury.
I think so. And I think what it did to it, it allowed Trey to take a step back, take a deep breath, to gather himself. Because what happens, once you get into the season, there's no time to stop. We talk about it all the time as a staff and a team. Once the season starts, it's a speed train. It doesn't stop until the season is over. So now what he had a chance to do is sit back in two games, to refresh his body, to get in that cold tub, to ice his knees, ice his body up. But to see it as well, because, you know, we say stuff a lot of time as a coach. Now, all of a sudden, Trey's sitting there like, man, Coach, I see what you're saying right now. And that's just so hard to do when you're playing in games because you're competing against an opponent. And, you know, Trey Golden come into the season with a target on his back as one of the best point guards in this league. So it's a little different approach when teams come at him. So he had to accept that challenge and embrace it. Now, all of a sudden, you see him playing the way he's capable of playing that.
Coach, have there been any difficulties as far as buy-in from the players that you inherited, who were really recruited to play a different style than you prefer to play?
Pino, he's not going to throw his.
Well, I'm not asking him. I'm asking, have there been buy-in difficulties?
He doesn't do.
Not to be honest with you, not really. I can say it with all sincerity, not really. Because, you know, when I took over Missouri State program, when you have guys that are built to play a certain way, accustomed to certain things, that whether it's good or bad, that's not the case. But, man, I'm used to a comfort level. That's like me. You know, 41 years old, you take me out of my comfort level, it's a little different. Doesn't mean it's bad. So for our guys to just understand these are the things we have to do to be successful. And my thing with buying in, not buying out, I don't understand that. If you're either part of it or you're not. It's not a case of buying in or not buying in, because these are good guys. So that's not the problem at all. It's just a matter of, guys, this is the level we have to play in order for us to be successful. This is what we're doing. Now, some guys pick it up sooner than others. Some guys it takes a little while. Some guys never get it, but it doesn't mean they're bad people.
Coach, I'm thrilled for this spate of success for you. And what I think it means in terms of the future. Now we have a gun sight here, okay? And the eyes on the prize. You guys have an opportunity to play your way into the tourney. Have you begun to talk about this with the team at all? Have you begun to talk about the fact that the season's alive? Have you begun to talk about, guys, this could turn into a real special deal here? Or is it just too early for that? What's your approach here tomorrow, a huge game?
No, a goal for us going into the season was being an NCAA tournament team. That was a goal. So, and that's with, you know, obviously Jerron. And they, I think without Jerron, you had the pieces, but there were certain things we had to do. Some guys had to step up sooner than expected. So now, do we talk about that? Yes, but the thing we talk about more than anything, let's control the next game, the task at hand. That's Texas A&M. Let's do everything in our power to win that particular game. Now, once you win that, then it's on to Florida. Because we put ourselves in a good position, and I feel like we can compete and play with anybody. That's anywhere in America. I feel like we have those pieces as long as the guys are doing what they're supposed to do and carrying out those assignments in order for us to be successful.
And I'll tell you what you have here right now. You have a team that's responded to what to the way you guys are approaching things right now. That's obvious. You have a crowd, Coach, that's responding. You know, the other night, there were some people that said, well, you know, the LSU game, hey, look, it was really cold, and it was a Tuesday night game. It was a Tuesday night game, and we had about 12, 13, 14,000 people in the building, which to me, Coach, any other place in this conference, I'll tell you what, Texas A&M would die to have that many people turn out for a basketball game. I was talking with their beat writer yesterday. He told me we'll probably have about 5,000, 5,500, 4,500, somewhere in that neighborhood, people here love this game, Coach. They love this game. And I'm thrilled that you guys have some life in your season right now.
I think our fans have been great. You know, there's one thing I always tell our guys. The fans want to see you perform. Every fan wants to win games, so that part is understood. But I just say, guys, at the end of the day, the fans want to see you compete, play hard, have passion behind what you're doing. If you do all those things, the wins will come. I said, nah, even if you end up losing a game like that, I said, at least the fans can come on, go home and say, okay, I see what our team is doing. I like the way they competed. We came up short tonight, but in most nights we'll be victorious. And that's what I tell our guys. You have to put your hard hat on. Whether you're scoring 80, 90 points, it doesn't matter, but you still have to play a certain way and have to compete at a level where your fans are proud of your effort.
Coach, I thought last week the Kentucky win is as big a win in a sporting event as we've had around here in a long time. And I think you played even better against LSU, who performed well, and we still beat by 10 points. But looking at those two games, what do you have to do better than you did in those two games going forward in order for us to keep this streak going?
Well, I think in the Kentucky game, and there's never such thing as a perfect game, but I thought the guys played really well. And I went back and watched film, and we marked up good, bad things we need to improve. And I couldn't find a lot of things because the guys played at a high level. They really competed the space and offensively. It was a great game to be a part of. And I think in the LSU game, I don't think our bench is as strong as we need them to be. There was some breakdown in certain areas, but I have to give LSU credit because if I had to pick two or three teams I feel like in the league that are tough to defend, LSU would be one of them because of the way they guard shoot and they're so fast and quick. They have a big guy like John Ed that demands a double team on the blocks. They have guys that can make shots. When you have that type of setup on your offensive side of the ball, you're tough to go against. And it was a fun game from the standpoint. You have to have you be clicking on all cylinders because these guys make plays. Defensively, they speed you up. They've had seven games where they get down 10 or 15 points, and half of them came back and won because of how they play. They force you to play at a level from start to finish.
And so tomorrow, with that in mind, do you try to slow things down a little bit, or are you just going to keep doing what we're doing?
No, you have to play. I've always wanted to be a guy that pushed the ball. I mean, you look at our numbers at Missouri State, want to score the ball, but the one thing with scoring, when you're pushing, you can't turn the ball over. See, the difference now, I think we had 13 turnovers, we had 15 turnovers, but you're scoring and you're pushing the ball. So now the turnovers aren't as magnified. When you're scoring, you know, 15, 60 points with 16 to 20 turnovers, that's when it really kills you. So for our guys, when you push it, now the turnovers you're making are aggressive and they're part of the flow of the offense, so they're not as bad. But we definitely want to push the ball. You got to push the ball. Now, if you don't have anything when you push, you got to set up them on your offense to make sure Jarnell gets his touches.
Coach, one more question for you, and I really appreciate your time on the eve of the Texas A&M game. Which is going to be unbelievable tomorrow, 4 o'clock tip-off. By the way, we're going to have a listener watch party down at Smoky Mountain Brewery in beautiful Turkey Creek if you want to come out and watch a game with us. And, Coach, let me ask you this. Florida game coming up, and I'm not looking ahead because I know tomorrow is a great enough opponent. What about a 9 o'clock start from your standpoint? Do you like that? If you had a preference, are you guys tipping that thing off at 7? To me, the 9 o'clock start is a little different. Florida didn't fare real well with it last week in that time slot at Missouri. We've had some success against them in this building in recent years. And it just seems to me that there's going to be a little something extra in the air with a 9 o'clock tip-off, even though I know it's an inconvenience to the fans and your kids. I'd like your thoughts on the 9 o'clock start.
Well, I think it's great for us because we're at home. I think it's the ESPN game, if I'm not mistaken, but also the opponent that's coming in here. It's a big game for us. It's a game we feel like we have to win, protect our home court to stay alive. So I think it'll be great because you're talking about one of the best teams in the country and a team that has all the pieces to be a national champion. So for us, it should be a great atmosphere. Our fans should be a part of that. Students should be a part of that. I think my wife will let my kids come to the game. It's 9 o'clock, but I think they'll still be there. So it should be a great game.
I'll tell you what, I sat right in front of your kids a couple weeks ago. I'll tell you one thing, Coach, they get their licks during the game, don't they? Hey, that's serious business.
No, they take pride in it.
Hey, Coach, on the way out again, congratulations to you, and good luck tomorrow, man, when you guys represent us tomorrow at Texas A&M.
All right, thank you guys for having me.
All right, once again,
Coach
Conzo Martin joining us.